Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Good morning. I'm Ann Holliday along with Bob Harris. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ann.
And we have Nick Youngs with us today. Morning, Nick.
Morning.
And before we get started with all the stuff Bob's going to talk about today, I want to wish a very happy 9th birthday to Aiden Good. Aiden, happy birthday from Mom and Dad and us, and thanks for listening. And So now, Bob, holy moly, we have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, and probably what's on most of the gardeners' minds besides Mother's Day. That's pretty doggone important. That should be on your mind first. And I guess I better talk a little bit more about that first, but I'm going to talk about weeds. So, most commonly a person will get a hanging basket or a planter for mom, which is great. So I should tell you a little bit about the care for it. Of course, most of the time mom's going to know how to care for it, but in case she doesn't, when you get that container, take a minute to feel the weight of it. And if it's probably watered well when you buy it, but you can ask the salesperson wherever you buy it from, and note the weight of it, and because that's going to be a real good way to judge whether it needs water or not. And some containers are going to need more water than others, and by location, a real sunny location is going to need more watering than a shady or part shade location. So note the weight and see if it's damp, and so you'll know what that feels like when it's damp. So when it gets lighter to the feel, you don't always have to check the soil. When it gets lighter, then you know it needs a little water. If it's heavy, like when you first got it, then leave it alone. Plants do need to dry out from time to time. That's pretty important. But also what's important is, I hope I'm not bothering anybody. I got a little lifesaver in there. I'm bothering myself.
It's okay with me. I wouldn't have known unless you said it.
That fertilizing, it's pretty important. Annuals like to grow, flower, and do their whole life cycle very quickly. So they need lots of fertilizer. So a good rule of thumb is about every second or third watering to fertilize them. Now, if you tend to forget about that, then mix a real light or dilute solution of fertilizer, and you can water it every time with that fertilizer. So if you buy the fertilizer, it says 2 tablespoons per gallon. Maybe only use like a half or 1 tablespoon per gallon. And then you can water it every single time. But once in a while, and you know, whenever you think about it, just use plain water and water it very heavily. So it helps wash out some of that old fertilizer the plant didn't use. And it'll wash it right out of the soil. So that's a pretty important thing, because you can get a fertilizer buildup in there that can start to damage the plant. So once in a while, we want to do a real heavy, just plain water watering. On that day that the plant is nice and dry, then really fill that pot right up with water, let it flush all those old salts. We call them salts or old fertilizer, unused fertilizer out. But a good practice is to give it a good fertilizing at least every third watering.
Okay.
To keep it looking good.
I have to interrupt because you were talking about wilting plants.
Yeah.
When I woke up this morning, I was looking at my geranium that you gave me last year. You can check our Facebook Live and see the geranium when it was original. And the leaves were a little like bent down.
Okay.
And I said, I bet you if I water these right now, I'm not going to panic because this is good that they're wilted a little bit. Water them right now. I bet you by the time I get home, it'll look good.
Yeah.
So I thought about you. Like, it's good to let them wilt every now and
it
then.
It is. It's very good. And the reason is because the roots need oxygen just as much as they need water. And you'll hear me repeat that a lot of times because it is so important. So if you keep it wet all the time, it starts to lose oxygen in the soil and starts to build up a methane gas, which can damage or kill a plant. So once in a while, we have to, not often, but once in a while, we got to let them dry up right to the point where they're going to wilt a little bit. Plants can survive a wilt. It happens in nature all the time. Once they wilt, then we can give them a good hard soaking. As that water is going from the top of the soil down through, as it's going down through, it's pulling air behind it. So it's giving the roots water and oxygen both. And it's also flushing out the old unused fertilizer. So, yeah, let them wilt once in a while. It's a good practice. I know it can be stressful because you say, oh, Jesus is going to die. Don't let it wilt, severely. But as soon as you see it wilting, then you've reached that point where now I can give it a nice good soaking and going to put a bunch of oxygen back in the soil that the plants need and flush out those old fertilizers.
Well, I know if I did to the geranium what I did to the terrarium, you might not want me on the show anymore.
That's happened 100 times to me, Ann. We're going to fix that terrarium, though.
Okay, all right. I didn't kill all of it.
No, no, just a couple plants. And plants die for a lot of reasons. It's not always about watering, although it is 99% of the time. That's why they fail, from over or underwater. But I wanted to talk about weeds.
Okay. Before you start with that, I just want to mention that if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372. You can send us an email at garden@wesb.com, or you can leave us a message on Facebook and we'll get to it there. So, Bob, on to weeds.
Yeah, because I know it bothers a lot of us gardeners and non-gardeners, the people who just want a good-looking yard. So number one, I'm going to talk about preen. And this is going to be for your flower beds or vegetable beds, not your lawn or trees or shrubs. Well, it can be for trees and shrubs, but not your lawn. So this is a dry material that you sprinkle over soil. Then you're going to want to rake it in because it can be destroyed by light. So we want to rake it in and then wet it heavily. And the wetting activates the chemical in there and also gets it dirty so sunlight can't harm it, because it can be harmed by sunlight. A lot of people just sprinkle and walk away and say, geez, I tried preening and it didn't work. If you read all the directions, you'll see, and it will work. So what it does is it stops seeds, weed seeds, or any other seed really, from germinating. So if you're going to do it in your vegetable garden, make sure your seeds that you've planted there have already germinated. But if all your seeds have germinated or you're planting live plants, then go ahead and sprinkle the preen. That'll keep all those weeds from germinating and getting to be a weedy garden. So that's preen. That's for beds around your trees. Another good practice, though, with the preen is you can sprinkle it before you mulch and then mulch over the top of it and then, of course, wet it again, because as soon as you wet it, that activates it and it kind of makes a barrier so them weed seeds can't germinate. So it's a good practice. But if you already have mulched, then sprinkle it and then rake it, rake the mulch so that the preen kind of disappears, because, again, that sunlight will deactivate it. It won't do anything at all. So it's important that we do that process. So for the lawns, though, one of my favorites is Weed Be Gone. And you can purchase it like this. This is a concentrate that you'll mix with a sprayer, or you can purchase it that already has a hookup to put right on the end of your garden hose, or you can get the type that will already have a spray nozzle on it, and you can just spray it. But what this does, it's an herbicide that will kill off the broadleaf weeds, but it won't harm the grass, because the way grass grows straight up and down, and the herbicide rolls off it, and grass does have a waxy cuticle, we call it, kind of a waxy skin and hair on it. So the chemical really never comes in contact with the grass plant. But the broadleaf weeds, because they are laying flat, the chemical can sit right on the leaf. The leaf will absorb it, take it down into the roots, and, of course, then it does some changes in the roots, and that kills them off. So this is a real good one for lawns.
I have a question. I'm from Facebook.
Yeah.
Mike from Florida, who used to live in Potter County, and he's a fireman, too, by the way, wants to know, how do I know if I am overwatering my potted plants?
Okay. The number one way is the weight. Number three, four, and five. If you pour some water in there and it doesn't go down through quickly and out the bottom, chances are it's already wet. The best way, though, is just stick your finger in the soil. Stick your finger in the soil, and if some clings to your finger, then it's wet. If none clings to your finger, it's probably dry. One of my favorite ways is look at the soil. If it looks like black coffee, it's wet. If it looks like coffee with cream, it's dry.
Okay.
So that's usually, that's my number one way of checking the soil. You know, if it looks dry, like coffee with cream in it, then it probably is dry.
So if it is too wet, just let it dry out.
Let it dry out. Yes, indeed.
Yep. Okay.
Now, sometimes we get lots of rains and it never gets a chance to dry out. And most of the time, the plant will recover eventually. It can withstand being over wet for a while. But eventually, it's got to dry out. In an emergency case, you know, if we get rains every day and it's really soaking and it starts to wilt, because a wet plant will wilt just like a dry plant will wilt because it can't get any air. So it starts to wilt. Then maybe pull it to a place where it's undercover so it doesn't get any more rain so that it can dry out. Or move it to a sunnier location so the sun can help evaporate some of that water.
Okay.
So a lot of different ways to do it, but my favorite is to just look at that soil. If it's black coffee, it's wet, leave it alone. If it's coffee with cream, it's dry, go ahead and water.
Okay.
And maybe fertilize too.
All right, Scott from Olean has a question, but I think it might be a really long answer. So we're going to take a break and hear from our friends from Worth W. Smith, okay. And we'll be right back.
Give your lawn a healthy head start with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find varieties of grass seeds for every use, plus 10-10-10 fertilizers, mulches, and limes. And don't forget the seed spreaders, handheld sizes for the small jobs and push models for the bigger ones. You'll also find a nice selection of garden seeds, patio blocks, and railroad ties at just $14.99 each. Ready for a new mower? See Worth Smith for a great deal on a new Toro mower. If you need it for spring, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show with Bob Harris. And if you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372. You can leave a message on Facebook Live. We will get to you in just a second. Or you can send an email to garden@wesb.com. And before we went to the break, I said Scott had a question. Scott,
yeah,
from Olean. And it might be a long answer. And Scott's question is, if you have anything more specific here, Scott, go ahead and ask us. But Scott wants to know how to plant a few flowers.
Okay. When you say flowers, I'm assuming you're talking about annuals, Scott. So I'm going to describe that. But this is going to go for just about any plant. First is to prepare the site. And of course, that means removing all the grass and weeds that may be there. Any big rocks. Any rock that's bigger than a quarter. Rocks can be good in the soil. Anything smaller than quarter size or smaller is good for the soil. That leaves airspace. And you know why airspace is important. So remove any weeds or grass, then big rocks. And then I would always add peat moss. I like to put some amendments in the soil to make the soil better. We don't have the greatest soil on earth here. No, nowhere does. So I like to add some amendments, and peat moss would be my number one way to go. Or compost is a great way to. Peat moss is real easy to work with and very plentiful, and is good for the soil. And then till it in, or spade it in, or pitchfork it in, turn it over and over and over. You don't want to loosen it up too much. We don't want to loosen the soil to the point where it's a powder, because once it starts raining, that powder can compact into a hard, almost brick-like thing. So mix it up, till it, just to the point where you've gotten rid of most of those clumps, anything like a golf ball size or anything like that. Try to get those clumps out of there, because they can create too big of an air pocket. Okay. That will let the roots dry out too much. So go that far. Then you're going to have to remove the plant from the pot, and the best way to do that is just tip it upside down and give it a little shake. Don't pull it by the stem. That can damage the plant. So tip it upside down, shake it out of the pot. Now you know what size of hole you need to dig. And it shouldn't be deeper than the root ball is. But it can be wider and should be wider. So dig that hole the size of that root ball, place it in there, then backfill it, the space around it. And then when you finish, and geez, I hope this shows up, reach around the plant and kind of press the firm the soil right around the plant. Now, the reason for that is so that if a wind comes or when you go to water it, it doesn't tip over. We got to firm that soil, and then it presses all that soil in good contact with the roots. That's important. It's got to be in good contact with the roots. That's where it's going to get the nutrients from. That's where it's going to get the water from. So then firm up the soil around that plant. And then water it very, very well. The first time is extremely important. Really soak it. Not like you would normally water every day, but that first watering should be a real good soaking, almost to the point where water starts to puddle up on the ground and doesn't drain in. As you do that, we call it heavy watering. As you do that heavy watering, it's going down through the ground, and if there is any big air pockets, it's going to not only pull oxygen with it, it's pulling soil particles to fill those air spaces so it won't damage that plant. So I hope that is good enough advice for you. Okay. Enough advice. That's how I would do it, though.
Is there anything, if he has never planted flowers before, anything easy that he can start with that's almost foolproof, or is there anything?
Yeah, like geraniums, marigolds, petunias, wax begonias. Those are real good ones to start with.
Okay. All right, Scott. I wish you good luck with your planting. And if you have a question for Bob, you can leave us a message on Facebook like Scott and Cheryl and Mike did. Or you can give us a call at 368-9372, or you can send us an email at garden@wesb.com. And back to weeds, Bob.
Okay, weeds. So I talked about the lawn weeds, and, you know, some of the lawn weeds, like dandelions, are hard to get rid of. Sometimes we have to do more than one application. So we'll do an application, and we'll wait a few weeks, maybe even a month. Or sometimes weeds are not in the mood, I'm going to say, not in the right lifestyle to absorb the poison, send it to the roots. Sometimes they're just absorbing into the leaf. So you'll kill the leaf, but not the root. And then eventually that weed will start to regrow. So sometimes we need to reapply, or we need to dig deeper, and like Creeping Jenny, that's a real good one for me to give an example. That's best off if you try to get rid of that one in the fall, because it's really absorbing. A lot of weeds are. They're absorbing and sending all the nutrients to the roots to get through the winter so it can survive the winter and come back in the spring. But I don't want to get too deep into that yet. So sometimes we have to reapply, and that's all right. And when you are spraying, though, don't be wasteful because you have a real weedy area. It needs more spray. No. We want to spray the leaves, and you should stop and check once in a while, to the point they call it runoff. Once you get too much material on there, it'll form big beads of water and run off the weed. So we've lost it. So you want to spray just to where there's little tiny droplets on the leaf and they stay there. So usually less is better than more, because we don't want to waste chemicals putting on our lawn. And, of course, follow all the instructions on the back, you know, and wash up. And don't do it on a windy day and all those other things that go along with any chemical. One for weeds in your driveway or not in your lawn, in your beds and so on. And this may mean protecting other plants, too. Roundup, it has glyphosate in it. And anything green it touches, it will kill. So we want to be real careful with this one. So sometimes even if I'm working in my flower bed or vegetable bed and there's a weed, I'm going to say, since this is green, there's the weed I want to kill. But this yellow marigold is right beside it, and I don't want to get any spray on that because just a little bit of spray can kill off a plant. So what I'll do is cut a piece of cardboard that I can hold in my hand to protect that plant, and then I can spray the weed.
Okay.
So the overspray doesn't get onto that marigold there.
All right.
So that's a real easy way to protect them. And also, never spray any chemical when the temperatures are above 80. At 80 degrees, a lot of these chemicals become what they call volatile gases. They immediately, instead of being liquid, become a gas, so they start to float around. And if they find a leaf that's a little bit cooler than 80 degrees, then they become liquid again, and that'll get on that plant and then start to harm that plant. So never spray any weed killer of any kind when the temperature's over 80.
Science.
Yeah, science. Yep.
That's one of the things I love about gardening is that it's science and art together.
It is. It is indeed, yeah. And it's not real difficult. All the information's right on the back of the package. If you peel off the label there, you'll see all kinds of information. It's well worth taking a few minutes. I know a lot of us guys don't need to read directions, but it is important. So take a minute and read those directions and instructions.
Okay. If you have a question for Bob, you can give us a call at 368-9372. That's 368-WESB. You can leave us a message on Facebook. We are on Facebook Live. And you can send us a message at garden@WESB.com, too. All kinds of ways to get in touch with Bob if you have a question. So back to Bob.
One more way, and probably my favorite way, but not a lot of people, is the good old-fashioned pulling the weeds.
Ah.
Now, the best time to pull a weed and the easiest time to pull a weed is after the ground has been wet by you watering it or the rain. And it should be good and wet because as it gets wet, the ground swells. It makes it much easier to pull a weed. And as you're pulling the weed, don't just grab a hold of the leaves. Trace the leaves back to the surface of the soil, to the base of the weed, and that's where you should get a hold of it. That because a lot of weeds have developed away because of herbivores that want to eat grass and green leaves and so on, that they break off very easily. So try to get below the leaves and get a hold of the stem, and you'll pull more of the roots out that way. Now, not all weeds can be pulled. There are some, like the dandelion, that sends down a real long, deep taproot, and no matter how hard we try, 90% of the time we're not going to get the whole root, and even just a quarter inch of that root left in there is going to regrow in time. But if the soil's nice and wet, or it's easier to pull, or if we take our little shovel, you know, we can dig and loosen the soil, and that helps pull the weed. But that's my favorite way of weeding, really, is pulling them. Not only because I'm protecting all the other plants from any spray that I may use, but I get to know a little bit better where these weeds are. If I pull that dandelion, I'll remember, chances are, where it was. So if it does grow, then I knew in that same spot, then I knew I failed. And maybe that's the time I have to spray that one because I can't pull the whole root system. But most of them, you're going to be able to pull the whole root system. Gently pull. Don't just reach down and give it a quick jerk. You know, gently pull and try to tease that root system out.
So I don't know if this is weird or not, but my mom used to think that pulling weeds was relaxing.
Yeah, it is really. So, it is really. Yeah.
Okay.
Because you're destroying a plant, but you're protecting the other plants there. And why we get rid of the weeds is important because those weeds are competing against the other plants around it, even our lawn, even a big tree. They're competing for the water and all the nutrients there and even the aesthetics of it. And weeds have the ability to draw more water than most of the plants that we plant there. They're a stronger plant, and I think that's probably how they got their name, weeds. And interesting fact, most of the weeds, over 70% of the weeds in our gardens, aren't American. They're all invasive species that we've gotten from other countries.
That is really interesting.
Yeah, 70% of them, at least.
So whenever you hear about invasive species, and people doing studies on those, pay attention.
Yeah. It can be kind of interesting. You know, not only are you enjoying the looks of your garden and maybe enjoying pulling weeds because you know you're doing a good thing, but think about the history too. Where did the dandelion come from? That came from the colonists that come over here that planted lots of apple trees. Apple trees were real important. I'll talk about that later in the season here. But they knew that dandelions planted underneath an apple tree helped the apples ripen quicker because dandelions give off ethylene gas as they're blooming. And that ethylene gas helps all fruits, really, but helps the apple ripen quicker so that early frost or freeze won't damage so that they can harvest earlier. So they planted dandelions underneath their orchards.
See, that's... I love learning all this kind of new stuff.
Dandelions came from Europe, not America. There was no dandelions in America until we sailed over here.
Okay. So that's what we're going to leave you with this week. And we will be back next week. And in the meantime, if you have a question during the week and you don't think you remember it until next Saturday, you can send us an email at garden@wesb.com. Or you can even send us a message on Facebook, and I'll be sure to pass that along to Bob. So, Bob.
Thanks,
Ann. We'll see you next week.
Tune in next Saturday for more tips from Master Gardener Bob Harris on 1490 WESB Bradford. We serve Bradford. B107.5 WESB Bradford. This is WESB News.
Concealed carry, welfare frauds. Good morning, I'm Andy Paulson with the ARG News Review.